Hey everybody, it's Lisa Moore for the Brighton Business Show here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, and it is finally 2022. Can you believe that we've got rid of 2020, we've got rid of 2021, and 2022 is hopefully going to be a really good year for everybody. Now, Helen unfortunately can't be joining me again in January because she didn't manage to move house in December. She managed to get over COVID, but she is now moving house this January and has also helped to host a TEDx event this weekend. So she's resting and recovering at home. But we had a little bit of a brainstorm over the Christmas period to think how we could change the Brighton Business Show to be more useful for our listeners. So what we've decided to do is actually to pick a subject and invite some experts in to give us their expertise, their knowledge, their wisdom about these subjects. And also, Helen and I will be giving our insight and thoughts into these subjects. So, this month, we thought we would talk about networking. Now, partly the reason that I think networking is something that's useful to talk about is that I run the Athena Network here in Brighton and Hove. And it's something that I heard people talk about a lot when I started up my fitness business. They kept saying, you need to do networking, you need to go to networking. And I was just sort of like, oh yes, I need to. I didn't really understand what networking was, really. It just felt like it was a bit men in suit. It was a bit salesy, and it actually felt really scary. And I remember going along to a local golf club and attending the Athena Network networking and meeting these ladies and thinking, oh, actually, this is quite nice. You know, we're having lunch, we're chatting, we're getting to know each other. There was no pushy selling, and it felt really nice. I then went and experienced some other types of networking and had very different experiences. I had experiences where I was talked at by a lot of people and not able to talk myself, and also felt very nervous about having to stand up and sort of do my elevator pitch and things like that. So networking can be fantastic for your business. And my two guests today, Bradley Hatchett, who runs Network My Club, and Lindsay Clay, who started up Connected Brighton last year, both have a lot of experience around networking, from their personal point of view, their business point of view, but also from running that networking. So, Bradley, it's really, really great to see you here today. I'd love to hear your story about networking. How did it all start for you? Did you understand what it was?
Yes, hi Lisa. It's an interesting question. One I actually haven't been asked since I started Network My Club about 5 or 6 years ago. My first experience of networking was in a previous role. I just got thrown into a few events as part of my role, which was in sales and business development. I was quite young and naive, sort of 20, 21 at the time, and I just thought that was part of being in a sales and business development role. But it was interesting, a lot of the stigmas or the preconceived notions that you thought networking, came with was something that I saw a lot of as well. Windowless rooms, men in suits, people pitching at you, and you're kind of going, is this really what it is? Because I was becoming a little bit put off by it, and I could imagine there was a lot of other people as well. And that would have been my first experience going into networking. But interestingly, that wasn't kind of the inspiration behind starting Network My Club, and that's become a mission for us in wanting to make networking something businesses want to do and look forward to doing, rather than fear or feeling like it's a tick box exercise, which I think a lot of people have felt and still feel to this day.
It's really interesting. And it's interesting you say that maybe that experience wasn't what inspired you to start Network My Club. And I'm sure we'll come back to that. But I'm going to sort of bring Lindsay in here because I know, Lindsay, your business started last year, but for very different reasons and isn't necessarily business focused networking.
Yeah, so we have a real mix. So we've got our social events, which are all part of creating networks. We tend to attract people who are new to the city or newly single or happy single. So that helps create relationships. And I think it's always not necessarily the people that you meet in the room. So the way that we create and manage our networks is through experiences. But I did also create a business network. So I have a small group based on the same way that I run my social events, but I just wanted a small safe space that was for entrepreneurs and small businesses, because exactly to both of your points, it can feel quite intimidating when you're new and you're going into a very, what feels like a corporate networking arena, and you're not quite sure where to start. So I wanted there to be a space that was more of a support group rather than a networking group. So we do those as well.
Yeah, and I think the whole support thing is really interesting, because I certainly one of the aims of Athena is definitely support. You know, that's one of our values. And that's one of the biggest areas that I always talk about with my members when they join, is that this isn't just necessarily about growing your business, getting more sales, having more leads. It's actually, as you said, Lindsay, it's that safe space to be able to ask perhaps those questions that you don't really know who to ask or where to ask. And if you're in an environment where it feels very competitive and salesy, you don't feel comfortable to be able to say, but how does VAT work? Or how should I file my tax return? You know, there's silly questions that you believe as a business owner or as an individual you should know the answer to. But I think networking can really allow you to ask those questions.
There's definitely been a case of I don't know what I don't know, and I've never run a business before. And so going into, so I'm part of the Brighton Chamber, which is great, and I've gone to BNI and you know, other networking groups. I'm going to go to network my club at the Albion, Brad Lane, look out for me there. You know, I want to try all the different groups that are available, but it can feel really intimidating when you're very new and it feels like you're going into a networking group of very established businesses, because there's so much that you're so green. Like I always say, like, I'm really green, but I'm really keen. So I want to be able to ask those questions. And it's almost overwhelming, actually, how much support there is for small businesses, and trying to then distill that down into a way that you can help each other. So I've got a WhatsApp group for my networking group where if I see that there's a business show or there's a new webinar on the BIPC or Network My Club have just released something, or there's, you know, a sales course I think is interesting, then I can share it with that group and just help distill some of that information for them.
And I think the support thing is very, very interesting, and it's very much part of what you both do. But let's look at the last 2 years, because networking when I started, and probably is the same for you, Bradley, when you started, it tended to be face to face. You know, it was either really, really early in the morning at stupid o'clock, it was lunchtime, or it was evening. And then COVID hit. Everything went online, including most of our networking. And Lindsay, you've obviously had that challenge with your business that you set up, is that it, you know, it was initially face-to-face and then you had to go online. How have you both found that online world with networking?
After you, Bradley.
Okay, great. It was a particularly scary time for us. I mean, we were three, best part of three, 4 years established going into the pandemic. And as a business model, it was all about bringing people together face to face using really inspiring and iconic sporting venues to do that at. And come the middle of March, I think it was March 23rd, wasn't it? Overnight, we weren't able, the stadiums were closed and we weren't able to do anything face to face. So on paper, our business model was made redundant overnight. So we had to find a way. And as a business networking membership organization, the lifeblood of our business is our members and our subscriptions that they pay. So we had to find a way of making it work. And we as a team just decided to throw ourselves into the world of online. We were looking back at it now, you know, one of the good things that I think we did well was communicate that this is new to everyone. The world of online, you know, the world of Zooms, the world of Teams calls, all of this was new to everyone. And we were trying to pivot our business to make it work online. And we just had to throw ourselves into it and see how it worked. And for us, it was really difficult, because we had quite a vast network spread across multiple locations across the southeast and London. So we were having to try and manage pockets of locations and groups of members in different areas and try and deliver that through Zoom calls initially. And it became tiring. And we got, as a team, we got Zoom fatigue before it even became a very common phrase.
I think we all did.
And we then thought, look, there are some benefits of doing this. People are saying how much time and how much, you know, money it's saving them not traveling to so many events, and they're getting to meet perhaps even more people through the means of Zoom or other platforms. And for us, the green shoots for us were really being able to connect our members in different locations of the UK. And I think that's what, for us, we started to see a lot of, is that people realized that there didn't need to be geographical boundaries to do business with other people. So that was a real benefit for us. And that's what we lent on. And we evolved our way of doing things online. We moved to a new platform, which is called Remo, which is kind of the closest thing you can get to an in-person event online, in my opinion, having researched and tested out a lot of different platforms. For us, Zoom just became too samey to everyone else, and we needed to be doing the best, or what we thought was the best networking online as possible. And that's where we evolved our model to go onto Remo. And what that platform allowed us to do was deliver events almost to the same format as we do to in-person events. And we've now got members that value the online networking as much as they do the in-person, and they're really finding that balance now. And I'm sure we'll come on to how that's really evolving. But for us, that journey's been really interesting, because at first I would have said that this was the worst thing that's happened to our business. But 2 years on almost, I would say that it's you know, accelerated our business in certain areas, and we've been able to make our network be better connected as a result. And there are green shoots from it. So
yeah, absolutely. It's interesting because obviously, I mean, Athena's been around for 16, nearly 17 years with, you know, members across the whole of the UK and a few across Europe, and a regional director looking after every area. And exactly like you, it was like, 1 minute we were in the, you know, in the Malmaison in Brighton having a meeting, and the next day we were like, okay, can't meet face to face. We have stayed with Zoom, which has been challenging at times, but in a similar way, we recognise that being able to give our members access to the rest of the network, because there is an exclusivity policy. So, you know, there's only one accountant in one group and only one mortgage advisor, et cetera, et cetera. But of course, there are other groups around the country that may not have an accountant or a mortgage advisor or a personal trainer or whatever. And I definitely saw a lot of collaborations, a lot of relationship building going on throughout the country. And what was really nice was, part of an Athena meeting is there's an opportunity for the speaker. I know that a lot of networking clubs do that, but the speakers were able to speak at lots of different clubs. It created lots more opportunity for our members and collaborations, and that real support came through. Yeah,
I definitely add to that. Sorry, Lisa, the mentality of people wanting to support other people was really there for all to see, that those, particularly the first 6 months of the pandemic, because I think it was that shared experience. But what's been really nice is that has continued, and I think people have become more comfortable with seeing people on video and that sort of thing, and the people realize that everyone's accessible. And sometimes that's a bad thing, because everyone just puts Zoom calls in your diary, but people realize that they are accessible and they are available at the end of a video call or something like that. And I definitely would echo that support piece.
Yeah, it is. And I think what's really been interesting for me is that you can have relationship. You can build a relationship online. You don't have to meet face to face. And I definitely met women over the last couple of years, and some guys through other networking that I would class as really good friends now, and yet we've never met face to face.
But I think that's really true.
Yeah, it's really true, isn't it? And
that was my experience in corporate. So when the pandemic hit. Sorry, I think I've got a delay on my Wi-Fi. When the pandemic hit, I was in my corporate career and I was working for an organisation that had offices all over the UK. And so I could only build my relationships with them via Teams. Mm. So, and I completely agree, we built some brilliant relationships. And the few times we did get to see each other face to face was brilliant, but we had built up that rapport. So I haven't had to yet pivot my business online, because when I did start my business, it was April last year. So we were, yeah, it was while the pandemic was still on. But like you, Bradley, I really believe in face to face. And so I just did whatever I was allowed to within the rules to get people together. So we did beginners petanque classes where we were allowed, you know, you allowed any number outside as long as it was sports. So we did it that way around. And then we just did groups of six in restaurants. And I've just kind of bent and flexed. Obviously, this last Christmas where Omicron came along and it looked like we might have a lockdown, I very quickly worked out what could I do that I could pivot onto online to make sure that the community that I've built can still interact. But so far, we haven't had to use any of that. But it's just been in my networking experience. So, you know, doing slow-mo networking with the chamber online. But I've really enjoyed that, actually. And, you know, you do get the odd Wi-Fi problem. People have to go off their videos. But you get to meet more people. And I quite like that everyone gets their sort of true 5 minutes of fame. Whereas if you were sometimes just in a room, yeah, you can get lost, or people can get lost.
Yeah, I think that's very true, actually. That's interesting because, yeah, when you're in, I know when I went back to a face-to-face, I did the slow-mo networking with the chamber, which was fab. But all of a sudden you're in a room with all these people and you're given 3 minutes each. And everybody chatted. And I actually, there were a couple of groups that I went in, I didn't even get to talk. Whereas when you're on Zoom or online, it seemed a little bit more manageable. And also, it's quieter. So if you go into a Zoom room on Zoom, for example, and I know with Remo, you can go into the bar area or the, you know, the outside space. You're there and it's quiet and you can hear everybody and you can listen. I think that's really, really helpful.
What I've said over the last year and a half, even, yes, I think since online networking has become established, and we've noticed that it's really leveled the playing field when it comes to networking in terms of personality types. And we've got members within our network who have been members with us pre-pandemic, so they were used to our in-person events, and we pride ourselves on delivering in-person events at these really iconic sporting venues with good large numbers in a room. And one of our members who he came up to me and said, this was on an online event, he said, I've got to say, Brad, that I much prefer your online to your in-person, purely because I'm a huge introvert. And the idea of me walking into a room full of 100 businesses and trying to jump into a conversation and break up a conversation does not suit my personality. I do it because my business will benefit from it and I will grow as I keep doing it. But the idea of him being able to network in his lounge or in his office or in his, yeah, wherever he works from, you know, wherever he feels comfortable with from, and he can then move around a room at his own pace online and be in those smaller conversations. So we've noticed that from a personality type perspective, people are finding what works well for them. And I think that is true across networking in general. People, yeah, will join different groups depending on their personality type. You know, some people will join smaller groups because they prefer that intimacy and that structure. Some will join larger groups because they prefer access to a wider range of businesses. And the beauty of it all, and this is where Lindsay and I share the view of collaboration over competition, is that our members are probably members of Athena Network and they're probably members of Connected Brighton, and people have that diversity in their network. And I think you've now got online and in person to complement different networks as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's very, very true. So we've talked a little bit about, you know, networking and our experiences and things. In your opinion, both of you, why do you think people should network? What are the benefits?
After you, Lindsay.
Thanks, Bradley. I've been amazed, actually, at the networking community in Brighton, being completely new to the business world, of just how incredibly supportive everybody is. And that collaboration has been priceless to me. Not necessarily the people that you meet in the room, but the people you're introduced to from the people in the room. So my web just continues to grow. And I would never have got in contact with them or known where to find them or realised that I needed to speak to them. As I said, because I keep exploring and that ability to go into a room where there's people that can help me and that it's so supportive has just been invaluable. So I'd really recommend anyone that's thinking about it. And as Bradley said, it does help level the playing field if you are nervous to start with an online event and see how you get on. If you're more extroverted, then go straight into one of the clubs. And there's so many to choose from. It's just finding your flavour and your style. So that would absolutely be my advice, because it can be priceless to people that you can meet and how they can help you.
Yeah.
I'll add to that really and say that I agree, and that people network for different reasons, and it might be more led around building relationships and building your own network in a particular area. It might be purely brand awareness and making people aware of who you are. It might be more cynical and being, I need new sales and I need to get that. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I'd also add that people network in different places based on their business journey. You know, there's a lot of networks that are formed for startups and people just going into the business world. And there's more networks established for established businesses, and people will evolve that networking journey as their business grows, as their business develops. And as I say, that's the beauty of having a diverse network and being part of different chambers and different networks and different community-led, you know, groups. I think that's really why people network, as well as just building their portfolio of contacts and as Lindsay said, their web of people that they know. But fundamentally, what I say to a lot of our members and how I perceive networking and why people network is becoming the go-to person in your industry, because so often we get it where people go, I'm going to go to a networking event, and you ask them how they got on at that event and they say, oh, I didn't get any business from it, so I won't be going again. And you know, that's just the wrong approach. And you know, Lindsay touched on it earlier, you know, networking is about the people that you meet and the people that they know and who they can recommend to you. And it's all built on referrals, as we all know too well. But ultimately, over time, it's about that consistency in attending. It's about being committed to attending the groups that you join. And then when someone thinks of what you do, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a solicitor, whether you're a financial advisor, whatever it might be, if all it takes is someone to think, you know, oh, I need an accountant, I know X. And I think that's what networking really becomes. You know, I say it a lot when I want to be part of the conversation, when people think of networking, right? And that just comes from consistently being out there and meeting people and just being very consistent in doing that. So I think just becoming the go-to person is the result that you get from being so regular and consistent with your networking, which is what everyone wants, right?
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, that going with the attitude that it's who can you serve, not who can serve you, and going with the attitude of wanting to help other people is really important. And it's interesting what you say about you being that go-to person. It's, you know, I've had an experience recently where somebody who knows somebody who knows me has recommended me, and it's come through a really bizarre route, and you suddenly realize that it's because you're part of these groups and you build those trusted relationships with people that, you know, business will come. But I think I've always said to new members and members alike is, you do want to think about your return on investment, but you don't want to necessarily think about your return on investment in a monetary value. Whilst it's all very good to say, oh, I've made this many sales, I've had this many leads, and that's wonderful. Of course it is. We all want to improve our profits, our revenues, etc. But it's also, what else can you learn? I think when I joined Athena as a member initially 7 years ago, I think it was, the biggest thing it gave me was confidence. I suddenly felt confident to be able to stand up in a room and speak for a minute without wanting to go and be sick. you know, and have the confidence to ask for help and have the confidence to ask the silly questions. So I think when you're people are thinking about networking, why should I do networking, is think about what else it can do for you and what it how it can help.
Just to add to that, Lisa, if I may, sort of throughout the pandemic, one thing that I noticed that is an underlying theme to networking in general is right at the start of the pandemic, so many businesses, I'd say 95% of our members, you know, were struggling as a business. Their business had fallen off the edge of a cliff. You know, there was that very small percentage that were doing well. You know, your employment lawyers and all the rest of it. HR, they were doing okay. But there were so many members that business had fallen off the edge of a cliff. So technically you'd think, why are they networking? They can't do business with anyone else. But what was, and I admire these people so much, is that they were saying, I'm going to continue networking because people don't need what I do now, but I want to be the person they think of when they do. And that is a theme that you should just hold with you throughout networking, even outside of a pandemic, right? It goes back to that go-to person mentality that I mentioned, but that was something that I saw ring true so very much through the pandemic. And that's just an underlying thing that you should just take with you throughout networking, I think.
Yeah,
I completely agree with that, Bradley. I think being the expert in your field is then how you get invited to help increase your brand by coming onto radio shows and podcasts and speaking events. You know, I'm now known as connection, what connection means, you know, personally and professionally. And I love that, that that's how I'm recognised. So I do agree with you. I think just making a name for yourself, and there's so many opportunities to do that in this space, but just how supportive people are. And as you said, you get your reputation very quickly by your consistency and how you treat and respect others. And that's so important in this environment too.
Yeah. Well, and actually the three of us having this conversation today is a classic example of networking, isn't it? You know, I became aware of both of you through my network who'd been coming to your events and that, you know, and through Brighton Chamber and here we are, we're having a conversation about networking on the radio. So it just proves that's how it works. But I wanted to talk about, we've touched on it a little bit in the things that we've been saying about what people are scared of about networking, and what advice would you give them about going? I mean, online is slightly easier because, you know, you could easily pretend to freeze or press the button and switch off your screen to get out of it. But when you're going to a face-to-face event and you're walking into a room of, you know, 30, 40, 100 people, that can be so intimidating and scary. So what do you think people are scared of most, and what advice would you give them, or what have you learned from your experiences, Lindsay?
I think people are scared of perhaps someone being in the room that has a similar business to you. Yeah. And actually maybe they're doing it, they're bigger or they're better and or competing with you, and that might be particularly awkward. I think people might just be scared of they've gone into the wrong room. You realize very quickly that's not your tribe, and as you said, how do you come back out of it again? But I think, as we've sort of said, that you can always complement the market. So I think it's looking at what sets you apart, and going to networking events will help you learn that, even if you talk to your competition. And I always think, you know, from my experience of being a coach as well, it's that you can only coach so many people. So there has to be enough people to coach everybody. And the same with running social events, you know, meetups, my biggest competition, but they can't have a meetup for everybody. And I can't provide social events for the whole of Brighton. So it's right that there's other forums that can be done, but we just do it differently. So I think it's just working out what sets you apart, and going to these events can really help you understand your niche. So look at it as an opportunity would be my advice.
And that's interesting because I remember feeling that way, you know, as a personal trainer when I first started, and I'd come across another personal trainer, I wouldn't go and talk to them. And I remember going to a conference and the whole subject of your competitors and embracing your competitors came up. And it opened a whole new mindset for me in that we're all different. You know, I'm a 50-year-old female personal trainer. I'm going to be very different to a 20-year-old male. I'm going to have a very different market, a very different ideal client, and have very different knowledge and experience. So We can collaborate, we can refer to each other, we can help each other, teach each other different things. And so in being able to embrace your competition and actually get to know your competition, I think is really important.
Yeah, 100%. I've got two wine tasting experts that I use for my events, and they've now become friends. So if we have an event booked with one and they can't make it, then the other one can whip in and help. And I love that. That's exactly how I think it should be in business. And that's through meeting through my networking. Perfect example.
Yeah, I've got a very nice bottle of wine to taste, actually, that I won at Bradley's Christmas networking.
Oh.
Haven't opened it yet, so. Dry January and all that. what about you, Brad? What would you, in your experience, do you think people are most scared of about attending networking, and what advice would you give them?
If you'd asked me that question before the pandemic, I'd probably say walking into a room of people and not feeling wanted or not feeling part of that group or part of the tribe, as Lindsay said. But that's where online has leveled that playing field slightly, and people can find the right form and the right format of networking that suits them. And I think now what scares people, you know, to commit to networking is, what if I don't get anything back from it? And that for me starts with your mindset and your approach to networking, because immediately you're going into it with a too transactional mindset, in that I need to see a return on the investment and the time that I'm making. Whereas if I think particularly if you're starting in a new group, and if you're starting out in networking, how can you go in and add value to that room and start to become a real key person of influence and someone that people want to know? And that's immediately how, you know, that firstly feels good that you're able to help other people, but then down the line you've built up those strong relationships, and if you're consistent and you keep attending, you build those relationships for then people to share that back in the form of a referral, in the form of some new business, or in the form of them being able to help you. And you can help people in so many different ways. It could be us having a conversation at an event, and you're talking about how you might have a problem in your business about it within a certain area of your business. And I may have just read a blog post about that the week before, and I share that link to that blog post, which just changes your mindset about that particular problem, all the way to actually passing someone some business and actually helping them out from that perspective. So I think it comes down to that approach to networking. And perhaps what does scare people is the idea of going networking and not feeling accepted, and not feeling like, and not getting anything from it. And that's human nature, right? We all want to feel accepted wherever we go. But changing that up and thinking, how can I go in and add value, and how can I help people in this room? And doing that for the first month, 2 months, 3 months, and not expecting anything back whatsoever, that's going to set you the foundation and set you in good stead moving forward.
Yeah. And I think from my experience, and this is probably online and offline, actually, probably more face-to-face networking, is the thing that scared people the most was that standing up in front of people and having to speak for 1 minute about your business. Because I think partly it's the worry about judgment. What are people going to think about me? Are they going to think I'm stupid? Are they going to understand what I mean? But it's also trying to figure out, what do you say in 60 seconds that is concise enough for people to understand who you are and what you do and get your personality across? And I know I used to feel sick thinking about what to say, and then I'd listen to all of the other ladies around the table and think, oh, she was so good and they were so good. And then I'd stand up and feel like I'd just waffled. And that's where the support and the help comes from within the group, and getting feedback from others. And also the training that you can get within networking. We do what we call a network strategy masterclass with Athena, so that when a new member starts, I spend a couple of hours with them, either just them on their own or with a group, where we practice their what we call monthly minutes. And, you know, we go through a format and they're able to deliver it. And then we all give them constructive feedback, which is absolutely invaluable because it gives them confidence. It gives them then something that they can use when they go along to their next networking meeting with Athena, but something they can also use at all of the other clubs. And I think that public speaking fear is innate in all of us to start with, but the more you do it, the more it gets better. And I think my one piece of advice that I would say to somebody is, when you're about to give your monthly minute, whether it's online or offline, pause and breathe before you start, and actually probably smile, because you'll feel better because you get better endorphins that are starting in your body. And it just gives you a chance to just sort of settle and relax into it, as it were.
To add to that, Lisa, if that is a fear of people, because we see it a lot where you see some people crumble under the pressure, and we used to offer that as a benefit for members to get up and stand up in front of people, and we stopped it because and now we offer them the chance, you know, to say, do you want to do this or not? It's completely, you know, down to you whether you want to do it, because I've seen some people get up and it's actually a poorer reflection of them rather than a good reflection of them. But I would always say, when you are doing a elevator pitch or a 60 seconds or whatever, try and help people help you and share what you're looking for and be as specific as possible, because you might be in an industry where there are lots of other people that people know. It could be, let's take financial advisors or accountants or solicitors. Okay, I could probably name 10 solicitors that I know, you know, straight off the bat. But if you're doing a 60 second or you're doing that elevator pitch, who are you looking to meet? Why are you here? How can I help you? And if they say, I'm looking to meet people in the construction industry because I'm looking to do a bit more work in property development, immediately I know. And it comes down to that, the worst thing that I hear when I say to people, who are you looking to meet? How can we help you? And they say, oh, I work with anyone. Absolutely anyone. Yeah. And yeah. Immediately I'm, you know, you just can't think of anyone to put them in touch with, where if they're more specific and you're letting people help you, then that's where you're going to get value in doing those, rather than talking about yourself and talking about what you do. It's telling people how they could potentially help you.
Yeah. I think that's a really, really good point. Valid point. And being very specific within that period of time, because 60 seconds is not a lot of time. The other thing that I find quite interesting at times is quite often people forget to tell you who they are. When they do their 60 seconds, they stand up and they don't actually tell you their name. So that's quite interesting when people are embarrassed or they just forget, because I think they're nervous and I'm worried about it.
I think it's also a really great chance to practice your pitch. They had so some of the networking events where you get to move around and you've got your 1 minute or your 2 minute, and I try and say something different at each one, because sometimes I think you can sound too polished and therefore you don't sound as authentic. Yes. And instead of saying, you know, I run social events, or, you know, I help people be tourists in their hometown, or I support local businesses by bringing cool people to come and try them out, or, you know, just thinking of different ways and just play with how it feels and it sounds to you, because then you will hit on your perfect 60 minute. But you have to test it, and it is actually quite a safe space to test it when you're in some of these networking environments. But I think you're right, Bradley, there's sometimes where it can hinder people more than help if they're really nervous and they haven't had that chance to practice it offline. But again, that's where kind of creating your business tribe can help you to get those practice moments in.
Yeah, and obviously the whole point of networking is the networking meeting itself is like the first date, isn't it? The actual real cream comes from meeting people afterwards, you know, and building the rapport and getting to know each other and asking each other questions. You know, you can't expect to go to one network meeting a month for 12 months and do nothing else. So no one-to-ones, no follow-ups, no walks on the beaches. Networking is about building relationships, isn't it? And the actual meeting itself is sort of like just the top level, and the rest of the work is done afterwards.
Yeah, it's back to that consistency point, isn't it? Of coming back again and again.
I was just going to say, you made me think of an analogy there, Lisa, where if networking was a sandwich, the actual event would be the filling, and then the bread would be the activity you do before, and the bread would be the activity you do after the event, which is really what makes that valuable and brings it all together. And I talk a lot to people about, you know, getting more from your networking by just being more structured in what you're doing before and after the event, and not, you know, maybe scaling down the amount of events that you attend and being more purposeful and more focused in the way that you are networking with people. And there's lots of tips that we can probably go into and share on that. But the event itself is not, you know, the be all and end all of networking. It's what you're doing either side of it.
Absolutely. And I think your point about what you do before is really important. I know I was very guilty of just turning up at the networking meeting and having not even thought about it until I sat down at the table. And the more you can prepare and be have a purpose and understand why are you in that room today, whether that's a virtual room or a face-to-face room, what's the purpose of you being there and actually being prepared, having the information that you need and having that all available. Yeah. I wanted to ask, do you think that you should do business at networking? Is it okay to sell at a networking meeting?
What do you think, Lindsay?
Well, because for me, my market's pretty broad, so I've gone to networking events. I don't go there with the ambition to sell anything necessarily, but just to get the brand out there and what I'm about, because you never know, someone you meet might be like, oh, my friend's recently single, or they've just moved to the city and they would love that. So I was thinking about this recently, Bradley, with your LinkedIn post about, do you have a goal when you go to networking events? And to that point of selling, I just want to get the message of my brand out, but I don't know how I would feel if someone tried to hard sell me. I think I would feel very comfortable.
Mm. Yeah, I think the idea of selling at a networking event is a bit of a no-no. But I would caveat that and say, unless the conversation and the circumstances allow it and that person's opened themselves up to actually wanting to learn more, and you find that you've both found that there is a way to work together, absolutely. You know, that's fundamentally why majority of people are networking for. That's why they go. So I think if the circumstances are right, you can. But I talk a lot about how not selling at networking events is what you should do. So it's not selling. Try and help first, and if there is a way that you can work together, perhaps wait till after the event and set up that follow-up. That's where the fruits will be in. So
yeah, I think that's right. I think I agree with both of you, actually. It is about being aware of the conversation and where is the conversation going, and reading and getting to know that person. If there's an absolute perfect opportunity and you can tell that the other person is on the same page as you and you know that you can help them and they're ready to buy, then absolutely, you have that conversation. But you never go in, and I've definitely been in a situation where I've had somebody just pushing it to me, and you feel really awkward and you feel like you need to commit to something, or you feel like you have to buy. It's quite hard to say no in that situation.
There are so many variables as well. Depending on what product or service you offer, depending on how well you know that person, if you've met them before, there are so many variables at play. But you know, as soon as someone that, particularly people that you meet for the first time and they're pitching at you and selling at you, immediately you know their intentions are all about what's in it for them rather than how they can help you. And that's how it comes across. So people just need to be very self-aware of that and be very aware, as you say, where the conversation is going.
Absolutely. It's interesting. And, you know, I've been to networking events where you've got people that are selling products. You know, maybe they've got craft products or facial creams or that's a very different scenario because it's a touchy-feely thing, and that's probably more likely to be a sales environment, especially in a women's networking environment, face creams and things like that. You know, we love all that stuff. But it really depends, doesn't it, on the situation.
Yeah, I've definitely found it when I've been at a networking event and said, you know, this is what we do, and we go kayaking and mezcal tasting and Mexican bingo. And then people's reaction is like, oh, I'd love to do that. And I'm like, come and hang out. It'd be great. And, you know, give you business cards. Because I love what I do. So I feel really passionate about it. And I think kind of that can be infectious to people who then want to come. And I have had people that I've met at networking events, then they have come with their partners or on their own to events. But that wasn't my intention. It's just because we're doing really fun things. And why wouldn't you want to come and do fun stuff?
And that's very different to selling to somebody, isn't it? That's a conversation that, you know, it opens up, it makes sense, it's a conversation, as opposed to, you need to buy this and it's going to cost you that much money, when do you want to sign up, sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what that's just prompted me to think is the environment also sets the tone of the event. And I think Lindsay's events clearly are for that social, for that enjoyment perspective, and that's fundamental. You know, fundamentally the first priority for her, I'm sure. And then, you know, those relationships are what are built on from that foundation and from that environment. And then we, as an organizer of I would say professional networking events for SMEs, you know, we have a obligation and a duty to create that environment that people don't feel like, you know, it's all about going in and selling, and we are there as a team to try and educate and inform and facilitate those more relationship building conversations. But it starts with people like ourselves to educate people and create that environment and set the tone.
Yeah. So what would you say are your top tips for, so let's say that there is one of our listeners is listening right now and they recently set up a business and they want to start networking. What were the top tips would you say to them? What do they need to know before they start networking?
That's such a good question. I would say to them to have an idea of what they want to get out of the networking. So even if it's just to test, it's just to test the waters and see, or they want to get their brand out, or they're looking for a particular person to help them, just have a rough idea of what you could achieve. But also be open to the conversations that you'll have, because I've walked out of networking events with new friends and mentors and information I didn't know I needed. So I think just to be really open to it and do your research on what you think will work for you.
Yeah,
I will say not setting unrealistic expectations of what networking can bring you, because if you are too narrow-minded that networking equals sales and networking equals new business, you'll miss all the other opportunities that networking can bring you, from those new relationships where you're not necessarily working with those people, but they become a real support group for you, to that confidence piece that you spoke about, Lisa. So having that open-minded approach to networking, not setting unrealistic goals when it comes to networking. And I'm just writing, finishing a blog linked to my LinkedIn post recently around setting goals for networking, where I see it too often that people come into networking and set a goal. Maybe I need to generate X amount of business from networking this month. I need to get 20 new clients from networking in the next 12 months. And that just becomes too transactional. It's unrealistic. Whereas set it a little bit smaller and more methodical and saying, right, at this event, I'm going to meet two new people that I've never spoken to before. And at this event, I'm going to reconnect with two people that I do know and catch up with them over a coffee. And all of those small actions over the days, weeks, months will compound. And that's the value in networking over time. And I guess that leads into that. The next tip would be, it does take time and it's not a quick win. So don't go into networking thinking that you're going to get anything from it from the first 2, 3, 4, 5 months, whatever. It's something you've got to be in it for the long term.
Yeah. And sometimes longer, isn't it? You know, sometimes
absolutely.
The investment is longer. And just picking up on something you said there, I think one of the most important things I would say is you go along to these meetings, you get people's email addresses and business cards or whatever, is remember to follow up afterwards. And yeah. I'm as guilty as others with doing this, because you get back into the office, or you know, the phone rings or whatever, and you forget. But just a simple message, just and not necessarily an automated or templated message, contact the person. Even if you think that actually there's not much point in the relationship, which you do know, you'll meet people and you think, well, really nice guy, really nice lady, but actually at the moment there's nothing we have in common or we need from each other. But just making those connections, because you never know, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months down the line, you suddenly go, I need to meet a wine taster. And then you can remember, and you've connected, and then you don't have that horrible, embarrassing moment where you sort of say, we did meet, and nobody's made that connection. So
I'd add an actionable tip to that as well, Lisa, and say after an event, or even before you've attended the event, which I'm no doubt will be in your calendar, the day after, or even the afternoon or evening after the event, have some time in your calendar that you dedicate to following those people up, and then you have that accountability. And if you want to go one step further, put a reminder in for a month or 3 months down the line where you reconnect up with them again, just to sort of touch base. So having that accountability is where you're going to get the, as a lot of people say, the fruits in the follow-up.
Yeah. And you've both said it throughout this conversation about consistency. So if you do join a networking club, make sure you go. Because if you join, say, for a 12-month membership, and, you know, with Athena, it's a 12-month membership, but we don't meet formally in August or December because of summer holidays and Christmas. We meet socially. But if you then think, well, there's 10 meetings a year, and if you then don't come to two of them, you've lost an opportunity to connect with those people. So I think if you're going to commit, you need to commit and be consistent and go. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So guys, obviously 2022, looking forward to the future. What have you got coming up, or how can people know more about what you do and get involved? Do you want to go first?
You can find me on connectedbrighton.com and look at all our list of events. We've got tons of stuff. We're trying to do 2 to 3 things a week. And as we move into different months and different seasons, we do different stuff. So we're starting with our beginners Petonk tournament again next month. And then we'll be kayaking again from April. And we've got our business brunches every month. Then we're also doing co-working days once a month as well, just to jazz things up a little bit. So have a look on the website and follow us on Instagram as well, at Connected Brighton.
Just explain what co-working days are.
So we're going to be going into RAP, which is a very beautiful co-working space. We're spending half a day in a private room so that we can look at peer review, help each other with projects, and just spend some time working as a team. Because especially if you're working on your own at home, it can feel quite isolating. So we wanted to just have one session a month that just helped people feel a little bit more connected. And we'll also be working with the BIPC as well, and working with the team down there to help people with the databases that they can use. Again, there's co-working spaces there and experts on hand to help. So that's going to be our rhythm. It'll be one brunch a month and then one co-working day a month.
So if you're a business owner and you're an entrepreneur and you work on your own, it's an ideal opportunity to still be productive and do your work, but with other people around you, and you can help each other, but you're sort of a bit more focused on what's getting done, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. And
co-working, they really work well.
And just on that peer review, because a lot of the time when we have the brunches and we kind of go around and say, what do people need help with, or what's on your mind? And it's nice then to be able to actually see on the screen what they're talking about with their marketing or Canva, or being able to kind of give that hands-on support if you're working with a new piece of kit that we've got experience with, or how Wix works or Instagram, things like that. So we just wanted to kind of give more of an opportunity for those hands-on meetings.
Yeah, it's a really good idea. Really good idea. How about you, Bradley?
Yes, everyone can head to networkmyclub.co.uk. We're pretty active on LinkedIn. If anyone's on LinkedIn, we like to share a lot of networking tips and updates of events. Events-wise, in Brighton, we have one at the Amex Stadium coming up on the 27th of January. Our events at the Amex are every other month. So if people can't make that, they can make the one in March. And we work very closely with the football club to bring the local business community to the Amex Stadium. So the football club are very involved in the work that we do, making sure that a lot of their corporate supporters and commercial clients are involved. But for us, it's all about bringing the local business community from across Sussex predominantly, because our events are lunchtime. It makes it quite accessible for people from outside of Brighton to come to it, and also the wider network, my club community, which is based across the southeast and London. So that's what we've got going on locally, but we've always got events coming up at lots of different sporting venues like Twickenham Stadium and the Keir Oval Cricket Ground in London. So places like that is where we host events, and they make it something a little bit different than perhaps sort of a hotel or what have you that a lot of other networking events take place in.
And what about Network My Pub? We haven't talked about that. We're running out of time, but just that was something that you set up during the whole pandemic, where it was you just turned up and took your own bottle of wine, and it was just like going to the pub with a few mates, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. That's sort of where we started to evolve our work online using the Remo platform. We designed our own virtual pub that we opened up during the November lockdown in 2020. We opened it every Friday at 4 p.m. and said, come along to socialize, leave your sales pitch at the door. It's all about social networking. And Network My Pub, which was brilliantly named by one of my team, became infamous, really. And believe it or not, we started to get regulars every Friday. That was sort of one of the most enjoyable periods throughout all the lockdowns, was to give something back, I guess, because people wanted to socialise. We did open it for a Christmas special, which you came to, didn't you? And you won a bottle of wine.
That was really good. And for me, for Athena, I've got my Brighton meeting on the third Wednesday of the month, and then the Hove meeting the following. So if anybody's interested in the Athena Network, it's women only, professional women. We have our meetings online between 12 and 2 every month. It's been really, really interesting talking to you guys. I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have.
It's been great. Thank you very much. Lovely to meet you both.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always great to share my own views, but also share the views and hear the views of other people that are doing what we're doing. And I think as I touched on, you can network in lots of different places, and it can feel quite overwhelming where to network. And the beauty of it, someone could end up coming to all of our events because they all fit a different need for what they're looking for and what their business needs. So it's great.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just as a final comment, in that networking isn't just about business, is it? It's about building friendships and relationships. And I have got some fantastic friends now from the Athena Network and other networks that I've been to. And I think that's something that we forget about. We can get very business orientated, but you can meet some great mates at these places. I think that's important too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, fabulous. So this has been Lisa Moore for the Brighton Business Show here on Radio Reverb on 97.2 FM, available as a DAB digital podcast to download and listen again on the website. And next month, Helen and I will be back with our new format. So we will be talking about a particular subject that relates to business in some way. And we will be inviting an expert, a couple of experts, to come along and share their wisdom and their knowledge and their inspiration. But if you're interested in getting on to the Brighton Business Show, or you've got something that you think is important to share with our listeners, please do get in touch through the website with Radio Reverb on 97.2 FM. We would really, really love to speak to you. So, Brad, Lindsay, thank you so much for being here. It's been great to have you on the show. And I look forward, I'm definitely going to come kayaking because it's something that's on my to-do list, wish list for this year. And I'm going to try and win another bottle of wine, I think, Bradley, if that's all right.
Sounds good.
All right, guys, I'll see you very soon.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you.